Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows us to bring you great shows like today's. And we'll see how great today goes. I'm here solo again in Saints and Sinners. Father McKay was able to work out a schedule so that he could get a couple more days off. So he will be back, hopefully with us next week, but enjoying his last day at the shore today. I believe he'll be coming up tonight and getting back active with us tomorrow. So just ask you to keep Father in your prayers. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, we had a great show lined up with author and founder of spiritualdirection.com, Dan Burke. I was really looking forward to that interview, but unfortunately, Dan fell ill, and I got an email this morning that he won't be able to join us. So the phrase that came to mind that Father McKay shares all the time is that my disappointments are divine appointments. So I don't know what God's got planned for the next 2 hours. We'll be kind of flying by the seat of our pants, but that's okay. I got a couple of things we can chat about, and we can always take your phone calls. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. I've started to write a little bit. I've mentioned before my Substack page is notsaintsyet.substack.com. You're more than welcome to check that out. Yeah, usually on Thursdays. I was a little late last week, but usually on Thursdays I'll post the highlights of the show along with links to the recordings of this show, these shows on Wednesday. All the shows get uploaded to inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you can listen or re-listen to any of the previous shows. We have Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. For the summer, we're not going to have adoration and benediction on Tuesdays. That'll start up again after Labor Day. But the shrine is still open. The church is open from 9 a.m. until about 4 p.m. on Thursdays. We'll still pray a rosary at 4 o'clock. Rumor has it that the pastor of St. Gabriel's, Father Foley, is looking to purchase some benches to put in the garden so that rosary will probably be set outside instead of inside. But the shrine should be open from 9 to 4, again, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're going to talk a bit about Matt Talbot today. This coming Friday, June the 7th, will be the 99th anniversary of Matt's passing. And we'll talk about some of the things that are going on locally and in Ireland, getting prepared for the 100th anniversary, the centenary next year. A couple of retreats that are going on. Kathleen McCarthy and Father Joseph Itasam will be at Malvern June 21st to the 23rd for the Archdiocesan Catholic Charismatic Retreat. And Kathleen wanted to make sure that people were aware that there's two different prices. If you go out by yourself and in this Family Life Center, there's two beds in each room, but if there's only one person in the room, they'll charge you $325. If you double up, it's just $275 per person. So it also increases the number of people that can be there. There's only 50 rooms in the Family Life Center. And if people double up, you can get as many as 100 people there. So you want to go ahead and check that out. If you're planning to come by yourself, maybe bring a guest who can come at the discounted rate. You both get the discounted rate at $275. Again, that's June 21st to the 23rd. Two other retreats I want to mention at Malvern. My annual men's weekend will be August 16th to the 18th. That's the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group. And this year, our retreat director is Father Bryce Lundgren, coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of the book, The Catholic Cowboy Way. It should be a great weekend. A lot of great men that'll be there, and that'll be the first time that Father Lundgren has made a trip to Malvern. So you're more than welcome for the men to join us. And then for the ladies that that are in recovery, last year they had their first Matt Talbot Women's Retreat, and this year will be the second one, and that'll be September 13th to the 15th out at Malvern. So for these three retreats and any others, you can register online at malvernretreat.com. Click on register for a retreat, and the calendar will come up in chronological order. You can just scroll down until you find the retreat that you want to attend. Click on it and go ahead and register. If you have any questions about retreats going on at the retreat house, you can call them at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. Let's go ahead and begin the show in earnest with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favor the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Camillus de Lillis and St. John of God, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us. And all the saints and angels, pray for us. Just a quick note on that, the prayer that we offer, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, that the second part that we add on to the third recitation of that comes to us from St. Maximilian Kolbe and the Knights of Immaculata. And we pray through Maximilian Kolbe's intercession all the time. Of course, the Knights of Immaculata. And, you know, it dates back to when, even before Maximilian Kolbe was a priest, he was in Rome and saw the Freemasons parading through Rome and knew that they were a force to be reckoned with. And so that's why he formed the Knights of Immaculata to battle Freemasonry. And it's one of those things, I think, that's really slipped under the radar for a long, long time, you know, the idea of Freemasons. And, you know, there's Masonic lodges all over the place here in the Philadelphia area. There's a number of them. You have the Masonic Temple, of course, that's right across the street from City Hall in Center City. But there's various lodges throughout the metropolitan area and here in the suburbs. And I find it interesting that when you talk to people that are familiar with the Masons, they seldom are aware of the goals of Freemasonry at the highest levels. And basically, their goal is to bring down the Catholic Church. And I think Satan's done a wonderful job of, you know, keeping it kind of hidden and allowing the lodges and those folks to do some pretty good works in terms of, you know, the various things that they try to do for communities. And I think even people at the lower levels in Freemasonry aren't quite aware of the goals of the people at the top. And I don't want to get into the whole dissertation. There's a lot of people out there that know far more about it than I do. and recently watching some videos from Taylor Marshall and Father Murr, who was in the Vatican back in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, I think a lot of what the Freemasons were after is starting to come to fruition, that somehow or other some Freemasons have managed to get to the higher levels of in the church. And so that's why we offer this prayer. That's why the Knights of Immaculata pray this prayer. And so we pray for the enemies of the church, and that they will be that they'll be converted. Just want to give that quick explanation. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. It's 888-343-2484. At the bottom of the hour, we'd like to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, we'd ask you to call in as we go to the break. We'll give out the phone numbers again. And it's really important. It's one of the reasons why 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous work, and why there's a draw, I think, these days to groups, whether it's for men, just women, or co-ed, where people want to share their faith. And it's when we do that that we can learn from one another. We realize that we're not the only ones that experience life the way that we do. We're not the only way that sees the world that the way we do. Sometimes we think that we're unique, and we're all unique in some ways in God's eyes, but for the most part, the human condition is the human condition for everybody, and we all experience a lot of the same things, but we don't talk about it, we don't share about it, and so we don't know that you know, the person that sits next to us at Mass on every sits next to us at Mass every Sunday has gone through some of the same things that we've gone through. And so sharing these things often lets other people know that they're not alone in what they're experiencing. So that's why we have this Odd or God segment. It's really popular at our Calyx meeting on Tuesday night. And it's interesting to see people, new people that come and are not familiar with it. And then when they finally have one of these, you know, so-called coincidences that, you know, they light up when they get to the meeting and they can't wait to share their experience. So if you've got an Odd or God, call in at the bottom of the hour, and I'll give you the numbers again before the break. We are currently in the ninth week in Ordinary Time, and we've got a few saints in the calendar this week. On Sunday the 2nd, we actually celebrated the Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. But if it had been a weekday, the saints celebrated were Marcellinus and Peter, both of whom were martyrs. On Monday the 3rd, we celebrated St. Charles Lwanga and Companions. They too were martyrs. Today, the 5th, we celebrate St. Boniface, bishop and martyr. On Thursday the 6th, it'll be St. Norbert, bishop. So all the Norbertine fathers that served at St. Gabriel's Parish in South Philly so well, we thank you, and they'll be celebrating St. Norbert tomorrow. And then on Friday the 7th, we've got a duet here. This year it is the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, but it's also the 99th anniversary of Matt Talbot's death. And then on Saturday the 8th, it's the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I want to talk a little bit about Corpus Christi, but before I do, we do have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank. How you doing, brother?
Can't hear you, Ken.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I do. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So, Officer Campione got a hold of you early today, huh?
Ken?
Yeah?
Okay. I need you to settle a minor dispute. A guy I respect from AA, he's got, I think, 37, 38 years sober. He helped me way back when I wasn't getting him for a long time. He, when he goes to communion, he takes the communion wafer and also the wine from the chalice. I said, you know, you can't do that. You can't get alcohol in your body. He said, no, Frank, that's a sacrament. And alcohol takes alcohol to abuse it, to get drunk. I'm just taking the body and blood of Christ. I told him, no, you can't do that. But he said, no, it's a sacrament. There's a difference.
Yeah. So it really is a personal decision. Obviously, AA is not going to have a say in it one way or the other when it comes to all things Catholic. So it comes up to the individual. And I know a number of Catholics and guys that have been sober for a while that will not ever take the precious blood at Mass because they are afraid that it could trigger the craving. And I know others, myself included, that when I approach the altar, I'm not looking at the chalice as a cup of wine. It is the precious blood of our Lord. Now, the accidentals of what is actually in the cup is still there. It is still alcoholic wine. It's not 30 proof or 20 proof. I would never suggest going up there and receiving our Lord in the cup and taking a gulp. It is a gift to a lot of people to be able to receive the precious blood at Mass. So it really is. I think it's up to the individual.
You do it though, Ken?
I'm sorry?
Do you take the blood, the wine?
I do.
Huh. Okay, like I said, he told me it's a sacrament. I respect him. He got like 38 years sober.
Yeah.
But me personally, Ken, if a drop of alcohol was in my mouth, it would give me like the buzz feeling and I'd be off, you know.
No. And I would never, I never make a suggestion or recommendation to anybody one way or the other, that it's completely up to them. And I had a really good friend of mine who, you know, had been away from alcohol for 15 years and accidentally swallowed mouthwash and ended up going out drinking for 10 years. Now,
that's weird, Ken. I'm sorry. I never thought of that. Mouthwash doesn't bother me. I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, so, and you know, a lot of people are kind of all over the place when it comes to this. There's a number of things that are in your house that contain alcohol that people don't think about. I've had friends that, you know, would never go near Dijon mustard that contains alcohol.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, vanilla extract and some of the other extracts can contain alcohol. So, but I, you know, I never sat there and drank it. And it was funny because Father Shea, who was at our Calyx meeting, was talking about it, actually when he said Mass last night, was talking about how his sister gave him vanilla extract when he was a little kid. And was like, here, smell it. And you smell vanilla extract, and it smells so good. But if you take a taste of it straight, it's awful. But part of that, I think, is because of the high alcohol content that's in it. Now, I never raided the pantry for vanilla extract to get the load. I never even, when I was, I didn't really didn't start drinking until high school. So even when I was an older boy, I didn't even think about, you know, trying the older wine. But I know a number of people that haven't. And somebody was across the glass raising their hand. And so it could be difficult for them to even think about taking the precious blood at Mass because it could trigger those thoughts. So it does. It all goes back to the individual and just making sure that you're on guard for those things. But yeah, mouthwash is a huge can. You know, there's has a lot of alcohol in it, and at the same time, you can always find non-alcoholic mouthwash.
Yeah, Ken. I totally forgot about the mouthwash.
Yeah.
A long time ago, back like in the mid '80s in nursing school, a friend of mine, we were junior alcoholics and drinking, and if there was no beer or the clubs closed, I went home and that was it. I didn't know until years later, told me the truth. He went to Rite Aid or something like that and bought bottles of mouthwash and drank them at home, and that was it.
Yeah, it's a shame because it, you know, the person I'm talking about was a good friend, and it's like, you know, we talk about people, places, and things, and he was saying CVS became a place for him because that's what he started out buying mouthwash and cough syrup before he ended up going back to the state store for vodka. So you just need to be on guard.
I also never did the cologne. I heard people drink cologne.
Forget that.
That's expensive booze.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate
all right, no problem, pal. Good to hear from you. Be good. Thanks. God bless. Yep, bye-bye. Yeah, it's there's alcohol and a whole lot of stuff. But again, I never drank the bottle of extract or anything else for that matter to get the load. So, but it's good to have. It's healthy to have that conversation because sometimes people will give you the hairy eyeball if they see you receiving the precious blood. And again, when I'm approaching the altar, I don't even think about the alcohol content. I'm simply going to receive our Lord in the form of the precious blood. And speaking of which, that's what we celebrated this past Sunday with the most holy body and blood of Christ, or Corpus Christi. And I had shared last night that I know next year and for a couple of years now we're celebrating the Eucharist in the Catholic Church here in the Americas or in the United States, and we'll culminate this summer with the National Eucharistic Congress. It's going to take place in Indiana, and it seems that this is needed because of maybe some of the things that the Church has done, and maybe unwittingly. And I shared last night that at one time the Corpus Christi, this feast, was actually an octave. There were more octaves in the church than there are today these days. If I recall, there's two octaves now, the one at Christmas and the one for Easter, where we celebrate 8 days as if it were one day. And there was a time in our church where the Corpus Christi was an octave. It would last for 8 days. And so it seems there were much more emphasis on the body and blood of our Lord. And I don't think you can say, well, just because we took away the octave that we've de-emphasized that. But I think that in coordination with some of the other things that have taken place, that whether it's within the liturgy or the focus of some of the things that the church does, that we've gotten away from that. And all we need to do is look at some of the studies that have been done where, some 80% of the people, when they say Catholic, 80% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence. And, Father McKay, myself, and others have said, that's probably, they probably didn't survey daily communicants. If they did, it would probably be the reverse, 80% believe. And maybe there's a handful that don't. I don't know why they would go to Mass every day if they didn't believe in the true presence. But I think we're in the process of getting back there, at least to show more emphasis on the real presence, because that's why we go to Mass. And I really wish that I had had my phone on record mode last night at the end of our Calyx meeting. Father Michael Shea, a Vincentian priest from the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown, who comes to our meeting frequently, and in about 8 minutes last night, he went through a description of the Mass that just nailed it. And some of the things that he mentioned I had not heard before made perfect sense when you think about it. And how we start out in our Mass with a conversation with God and talking about the our own sins, bringing our own sins to mind, and then Jesus Christ forgiving those sins at Mass. And of course, that's venial sins. Mortal sin, you have to make sure we take the confession. Venial sins as well, but the venials can be forgiven at Mass. And once they're forgiven, on Sundays, not every day, we pray the Gloria, and we're giving God the glory because He's forgiven our sins. And then we have Scripture, where we learn about God in the homily or the sermon, where hopefully the readings are broken open for us by the priest or deacon that's given the sermon or homily. And then the one that got me last night was when Father Shea was talking about the creed. And I had never, ever heard it talked about this way. But anytime we go to see someone speak, even when I have guests on the 5 o'clock hour, usually as I introduce them, I'll go through a quick bio of who they are. And the creed, it serves the same purpose. It's introducing us to Jesus, or reminding us who God and Jesus are. And then once we do that, then we're able to have this give and take where we petition God, we ask for Jesus' intercession on politics, the church, those that are sick, those that have died. And, you know, God will answer that prayer, of course, according to his holy will. And then the gifts are being offered. And Father last night talked about, you know, sometimes, you know, we process up and we'll have the bread and the wine. And then that's when we take up the collection. And I think oftentimes we don't think of that collection as being our gifts. And the money that we've worked hard to earn is what goes hopefully in the basket, and then that's offered up with along with the bread and the wine. We become part of that sacrifice ourselves that's offered by Jesus to God the Father. And then all this, of course, leads into the Eucharistic prayer, and then eventually us receiving the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And that's what separates the men from the boys, if you will, I think, and separates our Catholic faith from a lot of the Protestant denominations, is the Eucharist. And being in recovery and in Calix and having been away from the church and coming back, and so many people that have come back and kind of learn or relearn, you know, what the Eucharist actually is, and how many of them, you know, came back to the faith because of the Eucharist. Many have traveled in their journey to Protestant denominations, and there was always, if they come back to the Catholic faith, they'll almost to a person, you know, they'll say that, you know, they enjoyed where they were, but there was something missing. There was something, and they couldn't put their finger on it, and then eventually they realized that what was missing was the Eucharist, receiving our Lord and Savior at Mass. And we got to emphasize a little bit last night, and, you know, whenever we can now, about how important it is for daily Mass. A lot of the folks that listen to this show in particular are in recovery, and Father McKay would talk about the 90 and 90 when folks first get into recovery, whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, or whatever it is. A lot of times the old timers will tell the new guy, you know, try to make 90 meetings in 90 days. So that's every day for 3 months. And Father McKay, you know, he started with his brother Harry, God rest his soul, years ago. And Harry, I think, was making a 90 and 90 and told him that, how about giving the Lord a 90 and 90 and make 90 masses in 90 days? And it was, I think it was life-changing for Harry, and I know other people, you know, Patrick included, our engineer, how life-changing it was when started to make Mass every day. And it seems like even though the attendance at Mass on Sundays is down, the attendance at daily Mass seems to, at least to me, in the churches that I get to, seems to be up. Not huge numbers, but on a regular basis. And I don't know if because times are tougher and people are looking to our Lord for help and you know, trying to make daily Mass to help in that regard. But it definitely seems like the attendance at daily Mass has been growing. We're approaching the bottom of the hour here. And we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break. But we need your phone calls in order to do that. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're calling, want to call toll-free, perhaps calling from a distance, you can reach us at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and again, flying solo this week. Hopefully, we'll be joined by Father McKay again next week. He was able to get an extra couple of days down the shore for a much-needed break. So he's due back, I think, late tonight. Get back involved in both the ministry, our house ministries, down in Grace Ferry, and his job as rector out at the Malvern Retreat House. Quick rundown on the Calyx groups that are in the local area. The Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Streets. We begin at 6 o'clock p.m. With short adoration period, followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting. And the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7, followed by 7 o'clock Mass. For those that partake in cigars, we started the Calyx Cigar Club. Now with the nice weather, we'll hang out after the Calyx meeting and have a cigar. If that's something that interests you, you'd be more than welcome to join us. We have a unit at the Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center, and they will meet tomorrow night, June the 6th. The unit at St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, my home parish, meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass on Saturday morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. And this month, that'll take place on Saturday, June the 15th. There's a unit at the Malvern Retreat House that meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joseph's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday this month will be June the 16th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They will meet on Saturday, June the 29th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. I also forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, as part of the announcements, this coming Friday will be First Friday. And on the first Fridays, they have Mass at Malvern at 7:30 in the morning, followed by breakfast where they accept a free will offering and then spiritual conversation during breakfast. So all are welcome. The Mass is either in St. Joe's Hall or the Family Life Center. When you arrive, there'll be signage that'll let you know where to go, whether it's the Family Life Center or St. Joe's. All right. As mentioned, normally I would mention who the 5 o'clock guest is going to be, and today we don't have one. I was really looking forward to having Dan Burke with us, but unfortunately he's under the weather. Seems to be an ongoing thing for the last month or so where we've had folks lined up to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, and for whatever reason they're unable to join us. But we're going to go to the phones, and we'll go to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
All right,
Patrick.
Yeah.
Ken, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, good. Good, yeah, I was listening to you, and, you know, just out of God, and, like, all I could think of is you and handling this program every week, and sometimes by yourself, and just the fact of me calling in and being able to speak to somebody on the radio is unbelievable. But anyway, can you hear me, Ken?
Yeah, no, you're fine.
All right, good. But anyway, I was thinking of the 12 steps and how once we accept that we have a alcohol problem and drug addict, it's like transformation starts to happen. And like I found out, the only step it says alcohol is in the first step, and after that, it's all spiritual. And you know, we're restored to sanity, and then we turn our will and our lives over care of God. And once I did that and recognized it and was brought to sanity and put God in my life again instead of alcohol and drugs, like there's a reason for everything in my life today. You know, I deal with my character defects, and thank God for the program that it showed me my character defects and understanding this disease. And you know, we're lucky. You know, we're lucky we had this program, and it was only through the grace of God. But I had to get sober to realize it was through the grace of God. And like you said, somebody opened up the gates of hell and let me out.
Mm.
And I found out it was Jesus Christ, and the transformation happens. And there's a reason for everything in my life today. Like you said, like the person beside you is going through something, and there's a reason, like I'll talk to them, or they'll say something to me. Anything in life today, there's a reason for it, because I believe in God, and he puts people in my life for different reasons, or I say different things to different people. And like, it's unbelievable. Once you recognize that, he reveals himself to you. More will be revealed. And once I understood that, like, everything in my life today has a reason. And God is all good and deserving of all our love. That's our act of contrition. And like, I'm always trying to be as good as I can be. And like, I'm calling here right now, and like I'm thinking, like, the devil's on my back and it's saying, like, you ain't worthy to call there, Mike. You know, look at all the stuff you do. But I am worthy. And like I there's a reason for it, you know what I mean? And I know there's a devil and there's a lower power and a higher power. And when I recognize that, I just fight it. I fight it off, and I say a prayer, or you know, it's like I have an app today, and I don't have to be like everything was so like so quick. Like if something told me to do something, I would do it when I didn't have God in my life, and today I don't have to do that because I have a choice. When I was using, I didn't have a choice. It told me what to do, and I did it.
Amen.
And thank God I recognize it. Amen is right. But felt like let me give a call in. Like I was nervous, didn't think I was worthy, but Patrick texts me every day, every week, and thank God, because like as soon as he does it, boom, I'm on there. And thanks, Pat, for doing that, and thanks for you, Ken. And I hope Father's all right, and
yeah,
be hearing from him soon.
That's right.
Thank
yeah.
you.
All right, thank you, brother. Appreciate the call.
All right, take care.
You too.
All right, so.
And Michael's, you know, absolutely right. And that's why I was kind of disappointed when Dan Burkquin joined us today, because the book he wrote is Finding Peace in the Storm. And it really is reflections on something written by St. Alphonsus Liguria, the doctor of the church, back in the 18th century, called Uniformity with God's Will. And, you know, In there, it just, to Michael's point, everything happens for a reason. And it's either because God wills it, and those are the good things. God, you know, will the good things. Or through his permissible will, he'll allow not so good or bad things to happen to us in order to for us to grow closer to him. And sometimes it's hard to see that when we're in the throes of something. And, you know, the idea of, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And it's God's permissible will, and he allows those things to happen to bring about a greater good. And when we recognize that, when we come to understand that, that's where, you know, Dan's book, Finding Peace in the Storm, that's how where we can live permanent serenity, permanent joy, permanent happiness, when we realize that everything that happens is because God wants it to happen. And he either, you know, again, good things he makes happen, bad things he allows to happen, but all with the idea that we grow closer to him. And we've got another caller on the line. We're going to go to Harry. Hello, Harry.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
I'm good. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great to hear from you. What's going on, brother?
I was listening to you guys at work, and I just got sprung from work, and I thought I would call in.
What's on your mind? Anything?
Well, not much on my mind, but one guy talking about the taking the communion and being a recovering alcoholic.
Yes.
I take communion when the wine's offered. Sometimes I take it, sometimes I don't. And I don't worry about it because I'm taking it with the intent of taking the blood of Christ in,
yeah,
and not to get drunk.
No,
but it's like I'm not going to communion five times a day.
So. Yeah, yeah. No, and that's the perspective I tried to share with Frank and I think with most people, and I think you're just reaffirming the idea that it's an individual choice. If you're afraid that it's something that's going to trigger that craving, then by all means stay away. But if you're in a good spot and truly believe that it's the precious blood of our Lord, you may not have to worry about it.
And that's the thing. Am I in a good spot? That's the question.
Exactly. Exactly.
And only I know.
That's right.
Other people like to tell me I'm not.
Yeah, just ask them, right?
They'll let you know.
Yeah.
I know Father's off again. That's good that he's getting the rest he needs.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple times a year, being able to get away and recharge the batteries is always a good thing. And you know, we need to pray for all of our priests. There a lot of them are experiencing, and I think what he experiences, he's got basically two full-time gigs between Our House Ministries and working with the Malvern. And so many of our priests now seeing a list of announcements that came out a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, many of these guys were already pastors of one parish and they made a parochial administrator of a second parish. And so we need to pray for them and be understanding when, you know, they may not have the time for us that we need or may not be as, you know, as happy or, and joyful as they normally are because they're under a lot of pressure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're in high demand.
Amen. Pray for vocations. Pray for vocations.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
I'll let you get back to work.
All right, brother. Good to hear from you. Thank you for the call.
All
right. Bye. Be good. Bye-bye. All right. You know, lots of good stuff and, you know, basic questions. And I, you know, Frank early on and just Harry mentioned it. And, you know, you wonder how many people you know, in recovery or wary about taking the precious blood. And so, you know, it's something that you need to pray on. And by all means, when we receive our Lord under the form of the bread, you know, it contains everything. It has body, blood, soul, and divinity. So you're not getting anything less by only taking the host, the consecrated host. But there is something about that idea of participating in our Lord's precious blood. And, you know, for me, I actually tried to get my buddy Father Wackerman to come on in the 5 o'clock hour, but Wednesdays are not a good day for him to come on. And he introduced me a while back to the precious blood prayers. You know, Barnabas, I think it was in Nigeria, was given the precious blood prayers and 500 times a day, most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. And using that prayer in order to break ancestral curses and how important all through the history of man that blood has been. And going back to the Old Testament and the blood sacrifices that took place, we just heard in the Gospel for Corpus Christi about Moses sprinkling the people with blood. Now, I don't know how cool that would be if we were in Mass on Sunday and, you know, the priest is coming up and down the aisles and actually sprinkling us with the blood of animals that have been sacrificed. But it was an important part of the Jewish faith all throughout the Old Testament. The cups of blood that were offered and the things that they that were done with the blood. And I don't know if anybody's kept up recently with, you know, what's going on in Israel, but I've seen where they have all the architectural drawings are ready to go. For the third temple, I don't know the exact year that the second temple was destroyed in Israel, but and in Jerusalem, but it's been almost a couple, 2,000 years since they've had the temple to offer sacrifices, and apparently they're ready to go and build that temple. But what was interesting was the what they have to do in order to sacrifice animals again, because that's the plan. And the gutters or piping that they would use in order to funnel the blood where it needed to be once it was offered as a sacrifice. And it was pretty interesting. I think in the original temple 2,000 years ago, it was like a mile or two worth of pipes and gutters that were used in order to funnel out all that blood. He goes, you think about it, the number of animals that were sacrificed in the temple on a regular basis, and all that blood had to go somewhere. But I say that because of how important it was to our Jewish brothers and sisters, that blood covenant they had with God. And Jesus, of course, changed all that and did away with the animal sacrifice with one final human sacrifice, his own sacrifice of his own body and blood, and how every drop of blood came out of his body, whether it was during the scourging, when he was sweating blood in the agony, or when he hung on the cross and eventually pierced his heart with the lance. But every drop of blood came out. And so when we go to Mass and, we understand, that blood once again is being offered to God the Father, the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ in the only one Mass, right? Father McKay has been emphasizing that a lot lately. There's only one Mass. It started at the Last Supper and continues to this day. And that blood all over the world, every Mass is being offered to the Father again. And so I think, too, of the St. Gertrude prayer, Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus Christ, for all the souls in union with all the Masses said around the world today, for the souls in purgatory. And then, of course, we add on sinners everywhere in the universal church, in our families and within our own home. And so, we're told that, potentially thousands of souls are released from purgatory because of that offering of Jesus' blood. And so, it is. It's critical. It's as critical to our Catholic faith today as it was to our Jewish brothers and sisters in the Old Testament. And so to be aware of that, and when we come to Mass, whether it's on Sundays or daily Mass, as we're arriving and thinking about what's actually going to happen while we're at Mass. And that's why we need to try to get there a little bit early, settle down, try to get the chaotic thoughts that we have out of our minds, and really prepare to enter into the Mass and to offer ourselves as gifts, the sacrifices that hopefully we make, the little penances that we've made since the last Mass we went to, all that gets offered to our Lord at our next Mass. And so, but if we're, racing to get there and getting there at the last minute, and I know things happen and schedules don't always permit us to get there early. I've got family members that aren't keen on that, and so, sometimes we're walking in 2 or 3 minutes for Mass. I prepare for it at home and try to settle myself and get ready to go. But it's that important. And then, the other thing that's come up of late is, this idea that the physical presence of our Lord in those the accidents of bread and wine, they remain in our body for up to 20 minutes, before our body digests them, if you will. And I now sometimes, we receive Holy Communion at Mass, and depending on where you sit, if you're in the front, you may get 5 minutes before the distribution of Holy Communion is done and you're standing for the final prayer. If you're in the back of church, by the time you get back to your pew, they may be ready to go again. And so, do we spend a few minutes after Mass, or are we in a hurry to get to the car, to get to to go get a cup of coffee or get wherever it is that we're going? And I've tried to concentrate more recently on the idea that, and even look at my, I don't wear a watch, I'll have to look at my phone to see the time and, see when 20 minutes from now is going to be. So if I'm at 9:30 Mass and I receive communion at 10:20, that, from 10:20 to 10:40, our Lord is physically present in my body. before I've completely digested, the Eucharist that I've received, and how precious is that time, and to actually try to spend it with our Lord, knowing that He's within me in a way that is so intimate, and that it only happens for that window. And you know, the beauty for all of us is that we can experience that every day if we want. There's masses morning, noon, and night, literally, that we can find and try to make daily mass. But even if it's only once a week on Sunday, that 20 seconds then becomes even that much more important, I think, that we recognize it and spend that time with our Lord, and especially in praise and thanksgiving for all that He has done for us, that He's, you know, Michael said earlier when he called it, that Jesus had let him out of hell. And not only has Jesus let a bunch of us out of hell here on earth, but it's only because of His sacrifice that we can be admitted to heaven, that He opened the gates of heaven, not for me, not for Patrick, not for Father McKay, but for each and every one of us. He made that sacrifice and opened those gates to gates of heaven so that we can spend eternity with Him and the Father and the Spirit, our Blessed Mother, the saints, our loved ones, and even people that maybe we haven't loved so much. But, you know, the idea that He was willing to do that for us and to take time, hopefully take time out every day to pray and spend time with Him, but especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, as frequently as we can. And with that comes, of course, the sacrament of confession. I think it's one of the harder things to get people to wake up to. And I struggle sometimes, as I'm sure many of you do, with friends or family members that we know they don't make Mass every week. And they'll show up, Christmas and Easter, and they're right in line to receive Holy Communion, and remind them subtly that hey, you really should think about going to confession before you receive. And by church teaching, we're required to go at least once a year. Definitely required to go if we have mortal sin, and. And we can argue whether or not missing Mass on a Sunday is a mortal sin, if it meets all the qualifications of knowing it's a sin and doing it intentionally. But to get the confession before we receive our Lord. And, more recently, again, in preparation for the interview with Dan Burke that was hoping to take place at 5 o'clock today, he strongly recommends, as do others, at least once a month, and if possible, at least once every 2 weeks. And I've kind of gotten myself into that rhythm, and there's certainly places available in order to make that happen. One of the best places is the Miraculous Metal Shrine here in Germantown. What a gift that is to be able to go to confession every Monday. They'll have confessions before the Masses at 9 a.m., noon, and 6:30 p.m. And I remember going when I first went there, that they would continue to hear confessions right up to it was time for communion during Mass. It was pretty cool. Also, St. Rita's Shrine, that I've become more familiar with over the past couple of years, working down in South Philly. They have confessions every day. I think it's either 10:30 or 11:30, and then in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon. Certainly look at the St. Rita Shrine website that's posted there, but I think those are the times. So we really don't have an excuse not to be able to, and certainly call your priest in the rectory and make an appointment if the times they hear confessions in church isn't conducive to your schedule. A lot of times they're more than willing to meet with you, because that's why they got ordained. These guys want to offer the Mass. They want to hear confessions. They want to do those spiritual things. I think it brings them a lot more joy than worrying about boilers and air conditioners and some of the other worries that they have. So we've just about wrapped up the first hour, with Saints and Sinners. In the next hour, we're going to have What the World Needs Now. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about Matt Talbot. We didn't get to him in this hour. We focused pretty much on Corpus Christi and the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we'll have some time in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about the life of Matt Talbot and some of the things that will be happening over the course of the next year in preparation for the centenary of his death. So thanks for being with us so far. I hope you'll stay with us in the 5 o'clock hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.